So Seattle's a new team. NHL's up to 32. Scotty asked the question, that job as a general manager, where would you rank it in terms of in terms of guys wanting to have it right away because of what Vegas did? Is this a top 15 job, a top 10 job? What do you think?
Well, look, any job is a good job, but it's when you're starting from fresh, you know, from square one, it's always more intriguing. And obviously what Vegas did, the old expansion jobs weren't quite so rosy. But with the new rules, it obviously changes the, you know, the outlook of the expansion teams. But, I mean, look, George came in a whole new rule situation, and I don't think guys were really prepared for it. And I've got to believe that this time they're going to be a lot better prepared. Like, just think about the deals. Like, we'll give you Tuck, and we'll give you a first-round pick not to take somebody else. Like seriously, how much of this? I mean, GMs have got to say, hey, we're going to lose X player, and that's it. No deals, no side deals. So I think it'll be much more challenging for the Seattle guys because I can't believe, like, you know, Columbus, don't take Anderson. We'll give you Carlson and a first-round pick not to take him. I mean, come on. How many guys are going to do that again? I mean, it was ludicrous.
Doug, you're one of the few guys who has experience of going to an expansion team as a general manager, so you might be better served than anybody to evaluate this next question. If you could pick anyone right now who either is a GM in the league or looks like they could be a GM in this league, if you're running Seattle, who do you want? Who is at the very top of your list?
You know, that's a really a tough question, you know, because you don't know who's going to be available. I mean, it is, you know, I look at the list of guys. I mean, a guy that I have a lot of respect for that to me has done a good job and he played for me is Tommy Fitzgerald. He's paid his dues as an assistant GM. He and Botterill were together in Pittsburgh. Scott Mellenby's another guy that obviously played for me as well, but he's paid his dues. You know, he's in Montreal now and he's, you know, his name was mentioned in the Philly. I mean, those are a couple of the guys that are sort of, you know, paying dues right now in assistant jobs and have done it for numerous times. But I mean, you know, Kenny Holland's name always seems to be mentioned in Seattle. I mean, I know, you know, does Kenny want to go west someday? How much longer is he going to be in Detroit? He's in the middle of a rebuild there. You know, I mean, depending on how much experience. But look, you saw what happened in Philadelphia. I mean, the Dave Nonis and Chuck were the only two experienced guys that they even talked to. So it tells you that it's a pretty thin field. I mean, Chuck's had good experience, 9 years in Minnesota, 6 years in the playoffs. I mean, but after that, when you're looking for from an experience perspective, it's pretty thin. So I, you know, it'll be real interesting. I saw they said when they find the right guy, they'll move it real quick. But I don't know who the right guy is going to be. I mean, George McPhee was a very experienced guy, 18 years in Washington. So I don't know how many of those guys are kicking around, you know, that have sort of stayed in the game, you know.
Sportsnet hockey analyst. You hear him on Hockey Central as well. Doug McLean joining us here on the program, Sportsnet 650. The guy that I think they will make an extremely strong push for, whether or not he wants to relocate, that'll be up to him. Steve Yzerman is the guy I think they will target. Todd Lywicki was with him in Tampa Bay. I know he has the utmost respect for him. And if Yzerman's family situation has changed enough by that point, that's the guy I expect them to pursue.
Yeah, so the question is, why would you leave a Stanley Cup, a team that is on the verge of challenging for a Stanley Cup, and walk away and then go to Seattle? I mean, look, he never did move from Detroit. He never did move to Tampa Bay. He had a place there, but his family never moved. So does Stevie do that, or does Stevie take the Detroit job eventually? That'll be the question there for me. And I'm not convinced that Stevie Y is looking to take a Seattle job, but that could change.
It's funny. I was just in Detroit for U.S. Thanksgiving and seeing the new rink and the whole pregame montage, and they raised the banners and all that kind of stuff. And every time that Steve Yzerman's name comes up, or a picture or a highlight flashes up on the big screen, he always gets the biggest pop. Always. More so than Gordy, more so than Ted Lindsay, more so than Scotty Bowman. It's always Yzerman, even still in that market. It makes sense.
Well, and because he's not working right now, it's even more intriguing. He's an advisor, which means he's doing nothing. I mean, they took his cell phone from him, so I don't know how you advise. And his office, so I guess you advise from home, and you must have to do it by Morse code, I guess. But anyway, so Stevie Y is an advisor, and, you know, I mean, it makes sense that Detroit, but look, who knows? I mean, expansion jobs are always pretty intriguing. I mean, every time I look and I see the Columbus Blue Jackets in a game, I'm thinking, geez, it was pretty cool to be there designing the jerseys and building the building. And, you know, I mean, I was there a year and a half before we started the franchise and was heavily involved in building of the building and the whole setup. So it was an amazing 10-year experience, to be quite honest.
But in an organizational capacity, like, you weren't putting up drywall, were you, Doug? You're not a handyman. You were just telling people what to do.
I was damn close to it, if the truth is known. I remember when I fired Dave King, I said, the owner phoned me and he said, I want you to fire Dave King tomorrow morning. And I said, oh, yeah, and who's going to coach? And he said, you're going to coach. And I said, oh, great, that means I'm the president GM and now I'm going to coach. Perfect, that's great. He thought I was running the Pee Wee travel team.
He is Doug McLean, Hockey Central at noon, joins us on Sportsnet 650. So, and we talked about this lots yesterday, who won in your estimation, if there was a winner, William Nylander or the Toronto Maple Leafs? And now, with all these RFAs coming up, and I don't think William Nylander is at the top of the list in terms of talent with all these guys coming up, what does it mean for the Bessers and the Rantanens and the Laines?
Doesn't mean a whole lot for me. I mean, I look, who won? Well, he got $6.9 million. I sort of penciled in September he'd get $6.5. That's where I thought it would come in at. He got $6.9. What blows my mind is that he didn't miss a paycheck for the 20 games. He got his full money, which, you know, which really doesn't make sense to me. So here's the question. You know, what are they going to do? Let him sit out? The NHL has changed. The leverage has now gone to the group twos, not to the teams. And it's gone to the group twos because they're the best players on the team. How do you let them sit out? You can't let them rot. You can't let them sit out. So you get a deal done. You have the asset available to you. You can trade them. You've got them. So what do you do? You know, you certainly can't lose the asset till next October. That makes no sense whatsoever. So it was either sign them or trade them is what the deal had to be. And nothing else. So now, I mean, and like, do you really think that this deal is going to affect Besser and Line A and these guys? I'm not buying it. Eichel already got $10 million to sign. And where were his point totals? That's the deal that is the one I'd be upset with, not Nylander's deal. So I'm not buying it, to be quite honest.
No, I agree with you, Doug, because the conversation for Besser here in Vancouver, for Line A in Winnipeg for that matter, for any of these players is more about what does this guy mean to our team? And that is very subjective, and that is very subjective depending on what market you're talking about and where the team is right now in the cycle. And I imagine as a guy negotiating those contracts, it can be a very difficult wall to break down.
Yeah, I mean, guys, these are the best. These 12 guys that are coming up this summer are the best guys. What GM is going to grind them and force them to sit out for the whole year? Nobody is going to. Nobody is going to do that because they're the best players. Line A is going to get 50 goals. Matthews, Marner. I mean, come on. These guys are going to set a whole new. So this BS that Nylander set a new marketplace, I'm sorry, I'm not buying it.
We might.
And I'm not also buying that Dubas had an option. With a salary cap situation and a short window to win now, you cannot tell guys you can rot. Those days are long gone because the best players in the NHL are our young guys. And they're 22 years of age, and unfortunately, they're going to get paid. And GMs are up against it. So to me, the leverage has gone from the team saying, well, we'll just make you sit out, to the player saying, "Oh no, we'll sit out, and you're gonna pay." You imagine getting into it with Besser, with your fan base. Imagine getting into it with Matthews or Marner or Tkachuk, and you think the fan base is going to be on the management side? It'll be ugly. Those days are long gone, boys. It's changed.
He is Doug McLean, Hockey Central at noon, and the NHL on Sportsnet. We'll let you go.
I'm going through security right now. Good talking to you, boys.
Yeah, have a good flight. What do you do on the plane? Do you watch like Friends reruns, or what's your go-to?
Air Canada Rouge tonight, there's no TVs.
That's a bit BS.
Well, if you're in your security line and they need a reference, we're here, so you just hand them the phone.
See you later, guys.
See you later. There he is, Doug McLean. Sportsnet 650.